Good morning. Today's daf in Baba Kama's Kuf Yud. We're in Kuf Tesamud Beis. We're right at the top of the Amud. We're going to be starting with by Ravina. Ravina asks the following question. Mamish the top. Gezel HaGiyoris. Stealing now not from a Ger, but rather from a Giyoris. Okay, let's just go over what we've been discussing. And we're going to be discussing it for the entirety of today. So it makes for a good introduction and really sets us up for the entire daf. And that is that you steal. You steal and an accusation is that you stole and you deny, and with the denial you make a shvua. It's really what we've been discussing now for the last number of days, the dapim of Kuf Zayin, Kuf Ches, Kuf Tes, and today's daf Kuf Yud as well. There actually are two parshas found in the Torah that describe the scenario. One is at the end of Parshas Vayikra, where there the Torah says that if there's any kind of monetary obligation in which you deny, and then you swear falsely, and then you make a hodah, so what do you have to do now? You have to pay back in three ways. There are three ramifications. One, you pay back principal, keren. Two, you pay back a chomish. And number three is that you bring a karban asham. Okay. What is described in halacha as an asham gzela. Then, fast forward in the Torah all the way to Parshas Naso. So there is another parsha that describes the scenario. But you steal from somebody who doesn't have family. The Gemara asked the question yesterday. Who doesn't have family? Everybody's got family. Right, you have parents, you have family. In other words, even if your parents are no longer alive, but there is definitely family members that you have. Everyone's got family. Who doesn't have family? So the answer is a ger. A ger doesn't have family. So in the event that you steal from somebody and there is no family, i.e., you stole from a ger, so then what you have to do is that you're now going to have to take the money and give it. But who do you give it to? In other words, there's no family members. So the Torah describes that what you're going to do is you're going to give it to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Give it to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's not doable. So the Gemara says the Torah says is that, and the Gemara's understanding is that you give it to the Beis HaMikdash and you give it to the Kohanim, and they're going to serve as representatives of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this in halacha is known as Gezel HaGer. So you steal from the Ger, what now happens? So what happens is that it's the same ramifications where it's Keren, Chomish, and Asham. It just happens to be that the Keren are now going to go to the Kohanim. The principal and the Chomish are going to go to the Kohanim. No. Kefal's only when you are caught with the stolen item. Over here, there was no caught with the stolen item. You admitted. You readily admitted that you stole. Again, after you made the shvua, and now, in other words, you entrench yourself, but afterwards, your Yetzer Tov gets the best of you, and you admit. Kefal's only in the case where you're caught. Good. So we have the Parsha not once but twice in the Torah. First time at the end of Parshas Vayikra, and the second time in Parshas Naso. And in Parshas Naso, it's describing the Gezel HaGer. We will, over the course of today's daf, discuss this and only this one topic. Okay, so, by Ravina. We are on the very top of Kuf Tes Amud Beis. Gezel Giyoris Mahu. So, what if you stole not from a Ger, but rather from a Giyoris? She converted, and you stole from her. Again, by the way, as I already mentioned yesterday, of the things to do wrong, meaning to steal already is wrong, but to steal from somebody who converted to Yiddishkeit, like, in other words, that's terrible. Okay. Made the same point yesterday. Over here now, right, even more heinous is that you steal from a giyaris, so you steal from a woman. And what do we want to know right now? In other words, is she going to fall into this parsha? So, isha merechmana, velo isha, odelma, or chidekrahu. And so here we get to a pretty generic and classical question, and that is that when is the Torah addressing men, and when is the Torah addressing men and women? And we know grammatically, it gets a little tricky because the Torah is always written b'lashon zachar. Sometimes it's to be understood literally; it only applies to men, and sometimes it applies to men and women. And so, right, without a Torah shebaal peh, it's very hard to decipher when we're going just one gender or when we're going both genders. So, Amalei Rav Aharon LeRavina, and here's a rarity, right? You got a real rare item. And that is the name of Rav Aharon, which as a Maraim go, I don't know where else in Shas he comes up, or the name Aharon comes up, meaning as a name that was used in the Tzkufa of the Amoraim. Anyway, Amalei Rav Aharon LeRavina, Tashma Detanya, so the following Brisa. And so, yes, we're darshing the Pesukim now in Parshas Naso. Ish Ein Li Ela, Ish Isha Minayin Kishomer Hamushav Arei Kan Shnayim. The Pasuk already says the word Lahashiv. And then additional to that, it says Mushav. So that means that there are going to be two people that are discussed, the man and the woman. So imkim atamalamar ish isha tazarach lachzor acharav im yesh lo goalim im lav. So as far as the ish is concerned, so what you have to do is you have to go seek whether or not there's a goal. And katan I atatzarech lachzor acharav shibiyadu shein lo goalim. Meaning with a man, so there's a possibility that he's got family. In other words, as a man, now he can progeny, and he can have progeny. So there's a chance that he'll have family. However, if it's a katan, so then there's nothing to worry about. Meaning, when I say nothing to worry about, meaning the katan's not going to have any family. In other words, again, a katan who's megayer is not going to have any family above, and because he's too young to progenate, so therefore he's not going to have any family below. Perfect. And it only begs the questions of, can a katan be megayer? Can a katan have possessions? In other words, and over here, don't worry about a katan because he's not going to have family. Well, don't worry about a katan because, well, in other words, had he become a ger to begin with? The Gemara is in Kiddushin, Daf Yud Aleph, where the Gemara there discusses how you're megayer a katan, and there's a long toshis over there, I recall. But anyway, yeah, so those are wonderful points. Tana Rabbanan. We continue. We're still in Kuftas Amud Beis, about a third of the way down. Not even. So, Tana Rabbanan, Lashem LaKohen, Kano Hashem, V'nasa LaKohen, Shabbos HaMishmar. Okay, good. So how exactly does it work? Meaning you have Gezel Ger, and you have to return it. And again, the best is not to have stolen to begin with. Okay, then a short follow-up from there is return it to the Nigzal, return it to the victim. But over here the victim died, and he's got no family. So what do? So you give it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. La Hashem, La Kohen. Now, the Gemara is just simply making sense of that. What does that mean, La Hashem, La Kohen? Meaning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu acquired the money, and he gives it to the Kohen. Which Kohen? The Kohen of that Mishmar. Atam, La Kohen Shabbos, Mishmar, Eno, Ela, La Kohen Sheir, Tzekishu, Omer. Milvad El HaKippur, Asher Yichaper Bo Alav. Ara, La Kohen Shabbos, Mishmar, Kasa Medaber. So it goes to the Kohen of that Mishmar. Okay, let's take a step back. Let's just quickly go over. We've gone over this point numerous times. Let's go over it again. And that is that how do the Kohanim operate in the Beis HaMikdash? On a system, on a very organized system, which is that there are 24 Mishmaros. Originally, there weren't 24 Mishmaros. There weren't that many Kohanim. They didn't break up into 24. However, during the period of Bayis Sheni, so, and it could be already by Bayis Rishon, this I don't remember well, but during Bayis Sheni, so we were operating with a system where there were 24 mishmaros, meaning that the Kohanim were broken into 24 groups. These groups are going to go to the Beis HaMikdash and work in the Beis HaMikdash from Shabbos to Shabbos, 1 week. And then what you do is you rotate. That is mishmar number one. As we'll see in just a moment, that's Yahol Yariv. Do not ask me to name all 24 mishmaros. I won't be able to do that. However, mishmar number one is Yahol Yariv. Mishmar number two is Yedaya. The reason why I know that is because it's going to become prevalent, it's going to become pertinent in 2 days' daf. So you have Yo Yariv, Mishmar number one, Yedayin, Mishmar number two, and Vechule, and then what happens in week 25? Choser, Chalila, let's do it again. Hakafa Beis, and we're going to have now Yo Yariv again, and Yedayin number two, and et cetera, et cetera. So good. And the Mishmar is going to be operating from Shabbos to Shabbos, i.e. 1 week. And then the Mishmar then further, this part you don't need to know for today's daf, but as long as we're here, the Mishmar is then further subdivided into what's called Bati Avos. In other words, the Mishmar is then subdivided into 6 Bati Avos. And so from Sunday to Friday, so you have a base of the Mishmar working on in the Beis HaMikdash on that day. So after a full year of operating the Beis HaMikdash, so you could basically pencil on your calendar. How many days are you working that year? Approximately 2 days a year, approximately.
No. Also, all the chagim.
You come back, right? Ben is adding, right? You come back for the chagim, and also, by the way, on Shabbos, all the Bati Avos come back on the Shabbos at the end of the week, and they're all going to be working. So, I say 2 days. By the way, I'm only exaggerating.
Why did Rav say chalila when they're closer after?
Chalila just simply means we'll do it again. Yeah, that's all. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. So when you go now to the Beis HaMikdash, in order to return your Gezel HaGer, again, the Ger himself died, and you're returning the Gezel HaGer, so what do? So you deposit it. By whom? By the Mishmar of that week. So in other words, the only determinant in terms of which kohen you give it to is who's ever operating in the Beis HaMikdash on that given week. Okay. Tana Rabban. Harishaya goes to kohen minayin shelo yomar. So let's say, who's the goslin over here? The kohen. Okay. Well, sure. Baruch Hashem, everyone's got a Yetzirah, right? Everyone's going to be tempted. So over here, so the kohen was a goslin. So minayin shelo yomar, ho yotze lekohen varei hu tachas yadi yeshali. So he says, look, the kohen now will try to make the following argument. Okay, it's called rationalization. It's called justification. We're all very good at it. Okay, I particularly am good at it. So the kohen's going to say to himself, look, what's the big deal over here? Meaning, obviously I stole. Obviously it's wrong. Obviously I want to do good. I want to make good. What do I have to do? I have to give it to the kohanim. Hey, I'm a kohen. So in other words, why don't we just skip all that and just, in other words, I'll give it to a kohen. I'll give it to me. Okay. So the Vidinhu, and not only that, by the way, but as part of this justification rationalization that really, which kohen should I be giving it to? I'll give it to me. I can even argue that halachically, it's called the Kavachomer. So I b'shal acherim, hu zoche, b'shal atzma lo kol shekein. So look, it's possible that I can end up with somebody else's gezel agir, meaning I'm a kohen that working in the Beis HaMikdash on any given week, right, obviously my given week, and it could be that another person is going to give me gezel agir. So I'm going to be accepting gezel agir of other people, so wouldn't it stand out to reason that if I'm already holding gezel agir, hey, I get to keep it. Rabbi Nassan, I'm Rabbi Lashon Acher. So Rabbi Nassan is going to say over the same idea, but he just says it over with a little bit of a different nusach. Mada v'she'en lo chelek bo ad shikanes b'rishuso. So So in other words, when I have something that was not originally in my possession, but coming into my possession is mine and only mine. Okay, well, the Gemara here is making reference to Rabbi Nassan's Kavachomer is predicated on the idea that when you're a kohen operating in the Beis HaMikdash, so obviously everything is given to you. In other words, you don't come in with your own karbanos. You are issued karbanos, which you're going to do the avodah, and you're going to, if it's a carbon that's edible, i.e. a chatas or asham, so you get to eat it. And once you're given the chatas or asham, so you not only get to eat it, but you also have no right to exchange it. It's yours, and it is a non-transferable, non-exchangeable item. Okay? That's the halacha. And now, davar sheyesh lo chelek bo ad shelo yichanes b'rishuso. Now, when it comes to the gezel agir, well, already it belongs to the kohanim. Well, before you actually even get your hands on it, so now already it was property of Kohanim, and you're holding on to it. So wouldn't it stand to reason that no one is able to take it away from you? Okay, so it's the same basic idea. In other words, it's a Kal Vachomer that argues and rationalizes, look, what I did, of course, was wrong. I stole from a ger, and he died, and of course, it's, you know, terrible. But now that I have it, so it stands to reason now, I should be able to keep it. So lo. So whichever nusach you work with, whichever Kal Vachomer you want to say, to that the Gemara emphatically says no. So over here the Gemara says that the Kal Vachomer is a faulty logic. It's a faulty line of reasoning. Because when it comes to all the other things that we describe, karbanos, chatas, asham, so there, kishem she'en lo chelek bo, kach ein lacherim chelek bo. Meaning, everybody's on the same footing with it. Meaning, everyone originally has the same access or lack thereof of access to it. But over here, when we're talking about gezel ager, so it's not the same. So, meaning, because what does the Torah say? Who is entitled to it? The members of the Kohanim of that Mishmar. So in other words, now it's not the same footing. The members of that Mishmar, they have more right to it. They are the directed recipient of the Gezel Ger, not you. And so therefore, what you have to do with the Gezel Ger, even if you yourself are a Kohen, is you got to go to the Beis HaMikdash and hand it over to the Mishmar operating on that particular week. Good. So the Gemara says, okay, but what are we going to do with the pasuk? Ishes kadashav, when a kohen gets kachim, Lo yiye. Lo lamed vav. It belongs to him. So over here, the pasuk says, and again, I know we just described this moments earlier, and the idea that when you're a Kohen and you're given and you're issued a chatas asham, whatever carbon you're given, even a carbon ola, by the way, which obviously none of it goes to you. It all goes to the it all goes onto the mizbeach. But even a carbon ola, you're going to be entitled to the hide. You're going to get the oros of the carbon ola, and once you get the oros, lo yihye, it's yours. So over here, the Gemara says, I understand that you're telling me that by Gezel Gir, the Kohen does not get to keep it, but it has to give it to the Mishmar. But why? So the Gemara says, Bekohen is Tahach b'maiskinan, Bekohen Tameh. So as far as the Drasha is concerned, the Drasha is talking about a Kohen Tameh. So the Gemara says, Kohen Tameh, what? Meaning a Kohen Tameh is going to be issued a carbon in order to offer in the Beis HaMikdash? It can't. The Gemara's next question. I don't understand. How can you issue a Kohen Tameh, any carbon to offer in the Beis HaMikdash? You're not allowed to operate it. So the Gemara says, fine. So really, how do we know that what you have to do is you have to give it to the Kohen and the Mishmar? We're going to learn it out via a Gzeres Shava. How does the Gzeres Shava work? From Steh Achuza, Ditanya. Okay, so over here, just again a little more introduction, and now we're describing a stay geula. Stay geula is a field that was muktash by its owner, by its original owner, and was not redeemed. Meaning, if it was redeemed before Yovel, great. So then where does the field go to? Back to its ancestral owner. However, if a person's makdish a field and doesn't redeem it by Yovel, so what happens in the Yovel year? So normally Yovel year, everything goes back to its ancestral owner. That's on sales. All sales, which really are not sales, they really are leases. We've gone over this point numerous times in the past. But in other words, by sales, leases, so they go back to the ancestral owner. However, if you have a field that you are makdish and you don't redeem it, so now what happens in Yovel is it goes to the Kohanim. It becomes a field of the Kohanim. Which Kohanim? The Kohanim that happened to be operating in the Beis HaMikdash the week in which it goes back. When does it go back? Yovel year, more specifically in the Yovel year, Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur of the Yovel year, so whoever is operating the Beis HaMikdash on that Yom Kippur of the Yovel year, they're going to be receiving the field. What if, let's say, a Kohen has a stay achuza, and now what the Kohen wants to argue, same argument by the Gezel Agir that we had moments earlier. Well, why don't we just bypass the middleman? Meaning, I know what's going to happen to this field in Yovel, and it's going to go to the Kohanim. I'm currently, right now, the holder of this field. So now, if I'm the holder of this field, i.e., I redeemed it from Hektish any time between when the original owner was makdish it up until the point of Yovel. And now the Kohen redeemed it. So now the Kohen gets to use it until Yovel. Where does it go to Yovel? So the Kohen wants to argue, it should go to me. Anyway, it's going to go to the Kohanim, it should go to me. That's the argument. Minayin shelo yomar. Hol, I'm just rereading that last phrase. Minayin shelo yomar. Hol v'yotzel Kohanim b'yovel yitachis yadi teishali. That should go to me. V'dinhu. B'shalachem ani zoche b'shalatzma lo kol shekein. And again, using the similar argument that we had by the Gezel Agir. Look, if I'm getting other people's monies, shouldn't I be entitled to my own? So Tamalamer, Kisei Achem Lakon Tiyah Achuza So, Achuza Shalo Ve'ein Zu Shalo. No. Only Achuza you get to keep, only that which you have inherited you get to keep, but not this. So HaKeitzad Yotzei Mitachas Yadu Meschalak Eschol Echav HaKohanim. So what's going to happen is that once you get to Yovel Year, and once you get to the Yom Kippur, the Yovel Year, whichever Mishmar happens to be working in the Beis HaMikdash, that will be the recipient of the stay, this field. Okay, so we know that's true by the stay achuza, and now what we're going to do is that we're going to take what we know by the stay achuza and just simply transpose it to Gezel Hagir. Same thing is going to be true regarding Gezel Hagir, meaning if the Kohen is a Gazlan and the Ger died, and now the Kohen wants to make the argument, hey, you should stay by me. So remember, by stay achuza, we said, it's not going to stay by you. Same thing over here by Gezel Gir, it's not going to stay by you as well. Okay, Ad Kan takes us to the end of our first point, and really the end of yesterday's daf. In terms of more discussion regarding Gezel Ager, it includes not just a ger, but a geris as well. Right? That's number one. And number two is that if the Kohen happens to be the Gazlan, so what happens is that he doesn't get to keep the money, but rather, like everybody else, he has to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash and hand it to the Kohen, despite the fact that he himself is a Kohen. But the halach is he has to give it to the Kohanim, meaning the Kohen who was ever working in the Beis HaMikdash in that particular Mishmar.
Is there any between a Geuris
or a Geir in that case? No, the only consideration the Gemara had for just a moment is that because the Torah wrote it B'lashon Zachar, it only applies to male, not female. But the Gemara thought it, but the Gemara rejected. Tana Rabbanim Minayin L'Kohen Shabbat Makriv Karbanosah V'chol Eitz V'chol Shah Sheyirtzeh. Okay. Let's say a Kohen is going to bring a carbon, his own carbon. Either an Adava carbon, in other words, Shlamim, Ola, Toda, whatever. We're not going to go through every carbon right now. So let's say he brings a voluntary carbon, or let's say the Kohen's obligated to bring a carbon. He has to bring a carbon chatas, right? Bishogi, you violated Shabbos. He has to bring a carbon chatas. Good. So now a Kohen is in the Beis HaMikdash offering a carbon. Now, for the rest of us, okay, Alan, you're excluded from this discussion. So for the rest of us, so what we do is that we bring our carbonas to the Beis HaMikdash, but then hand off. We can't do the avoda. We're not Kohanim, speaking for myself. So we hand it off to the Kohen, and the Kohen does the avoda. But let's say now a Kohen who's not part of the Mishmar is in the Beis HaMikdash with a carbon. Does he have to hand it off, or can he do it himself? Now, I know, by the way, it's funny. We're learning Baba Kama right now. Why are we here? But the answer is obvious, because we just got involved in a discussion of the Gezel Hager and returning it to the Kohen of that Mishmar. So now we're, and we talked about a Kohen being the Gazlan and him going to the Beis HaMikdash, and he has to hand off the Gezel Hager to the Kohen of the Mishmar. Okay, so it's not a crazy leap now that we're describing and discussing right now what happens when a Kohen comes to the Beis HaMikdash, it's not his week, it's not his Mishmar, but he has his own carbon that he wants to bring. Does he have to hand it off to the Mishmar, or can he offer it himself? Straightforward discussion. So over here, it's not a discussion. The Braisa immediately tells us he can. The Kohen coming with his carbon has every right to offer it himself. Doesn't have to hand it over to the Mishmar. Tamal Amar, Uva b'cho avas nafsho, v'shei reis. Okay, what the Gemara is over here is, it's quoting a pasuk, but not quoting the pasuk. Just picking out words from the pasuk that you are used to help us arrive at this conclusion. Right? The Uva b'cho avas nafsho, pasuk goes on from there, v'shei reis. And he will serve. When you're a Kohen and you're visiting, quote unquote, visiting the Beis HaMikdash, you have every right to serve. Now, what about the meat of the carbon? What about the hide of the carbon? Meat, if it's edible, i.e. it's a chatas or nasham, certainly if it's a shlamim. Or the ora. Let's say it's a carbon ola, where you can't eat the meat, but you can get the hide. So how do I know that not only are you the Kohen, an outsider, meaning you're a non-member of the Mishmar, that you could do the avoda and also benefit from the karban? So tamalam revishes kadashav lo yeh. The pasuk that we just cited earlier. So when you have a kadashav, when you have your karban, lo yeh becomes yours. So haketzad imayabamom. No, so kohen shabos the mishmar avoda sava ora shalom. Now let's say you're a kohen bamom. So you're a Kohen Ba'amum now with your carbon that you're bringing to the Beis HaMikdash. So now what do? Now you can't do the Avoda, meaning you are a Kohen Ba'amum, but what you can do is you can hand it off to another Kohen, and you're going to be able to benefit from the meat of the animal and the hide of the animal, despite the fact that you're not doing the Avoda. Okay. Rashi over here on the Gemara that we just learned together regarding the Kohen Ba'amum, who's bringing a carbon. So we just read the Gemara with the Girsa, with the first girsa of Rashi. And that is that despite the fact that you can't offer it, you get the meat and you get the hide. Rashi has a different girsa. It happens to be that the second girsa of Rashi is that it goes to the Mishmar. Since you can't do the avoda, therefore you're not going to get the meat. The Rambam happens to hold la halacha like the second girsa of Rashi. Anyway, we are going to go on. The im Now, if the Kohen happens to be either old or infirm, so now he can, what he can do is he can give it to any Kohen that he wants. There, if the Kohen is either old or infirmed, so now it's all going to go to the Kohen of the, to the Anshei Mishmar. The Gemara says, I need to understand that a little bit better. So, Gemara says, I don't understand. Is our elderly Kohen able to do the Avodah, yes or no? If he can do the Avodah, so then when he goes to the Beis HaMikdash and he hands it to the Anshei Mishmar, that's only just simply assignment. That's Shlichus. But in other words, but the meat and the hide should go to the old Kohen. And if the Kohen can't do the Avodah, so then you can't make a Shlich. You can't make a Shlich for something that you yourself can't do. So Amara Papa Shiachola Sosa Ideat Chak. So the Gemara Isra Papa gives an answer, and that is that the old Kohen could do the Avodah. He's still got it in him to do so. Admittedly, it would be difficult. Let's do that again. Amara Papa. Yachol asos ayideat chak avodah dechi avid lei ayideat chak avodi umashri shliach. So as far as the avodah is concerned, so the Kohen can still do the avodah, and therefore he can appoint a shliach. But achila dechi achol ayideat chak achila gasihi. Now, what about eating? So when it comes to eating, so this old Kohen does not have the same appetite that he had when he was young. So when he was young, he had some appetite, but now older, so his appetite is significantly diminished. He won't be able to eat. Now, he would be able to eat, but really at chak. He'd have to push himself to do so. And since the achila would be ayideat chak, it's also called, achila ayideat chak is also known as achila gasa. In a number of places in Shas, we say, achila gasa is not eating. Right? Most notably, we said it in the Gemara in Yuma in the 8th Perek, where there we talked about how when you were stuffed, which we all are right before Yom Kippur, and then you go ahead and eat afterwards, and it happens to be on Yom Kippur, but you're already stuffed. So that is not a violation of eating on Yom Kippur. Now, please, by the way, who's ever hearing this, don't say to yourself, hey, no problem at all. I'll just, no, get another, right, correct. Okay. All I mean to say is that there carries with it no liability of eating on Yom Kippur, but obviously. Once he's not doing it, it can only be the Mishmar that could do it. Okay. So fine. So that's Achila Ideat Chak, Achila Gasa, and that's not Achila. And that's why now we understand a scenario, albeit it's limited, but a scenario in which he can deputize a Kohen to do the Avoda, but he can't deputize a Kohen to do the eating. A statement by Rav Sheshes, which is a little difficult to understand. Let's say the Kohen of that Mishmar happens to be Tameh. So, and we're talking about a carbon sibor. So now, who can offer it? Chomish Yirtzah. Anyone could offer it. And as far as the meat and the hide is concerned, it goes to the Mishmar. Hey, Chidami, the statement of Rav Sheshes needs clarification. It needs more context. So, Eid Ika Tahorim Tamei Matziavde. Now, there's nobody here Tahor? If there was somebody here Tahor, so you give it to the Tahor Kohen in order to do the Avoda. Eid Aleka Tahorim. Now, if there's nobody Tahor over here, Avoda Sava Orlan Shei Mishmar, HaTameim Ninu Velo Matziachle. I don't understand. If nobody's Tahor and everybody's Tamei, so in other words, a Tamei Mishmar can do the Avoda of a carbon sibor. This is what's called tuma, hutra, or dechuya b'tzibor. Okay, Gemara has a discussion debate whether or not it's lechatchila or it's ideal or b'dievet. Either way,
but it's majority of people.
It doesn't have to be the majority of the people. It could be the majority of that particular mishmar. It would work there as well. But that's true in terms of doing the avoda. But in terms of eating, they don't have the heter to eat. So Amarava Ema Bali Mumim Torm Shabosa Mishmar. Okay, good. So the Gemara says is that no, there are people that can eat, i.e., they're Bali Mumim. Right? Kohanim who are a Bal Mum, so even though they can't do the Avoda, but they can eat. Okay, good. Amaravashi Maya Kohen Gadol Onain. Nosal Kohen Shayirza. Okay, now, if the Kohen Gadol is an Onain, so now what he can do is he can give it to any Kohen that he wants in order to do the Avoda. So the Avoda Savara Lanche Mishmar. Now, as far as the meat is concerned, as far as the hide is concerned, it's going to go to that to that Mishmar. So my Kamash Malan, the Gemara says, okay, good. So Tanina, Kohen Gadol Makriv Onain. Ve'eino Ochel. Ve'eino Cholek Le'echol La'erev. So the Gemara says, okay, but as much as we just said it, the truth of the matter is we have a brisa that says it really clearly. A Kohen Gadol can offer as an Onin. We know, okay, again, a point that we go over time and again throughout Chas, we know that Biyom Hamisa, on the day of the death of one of your Krovim, so you are an Onin. Now it does get confusing because we also use the word Onin to describe the period between death and burial. And burial could be a day later, 2 days later, whatever. So we use the word Onin to describe that period as well. But here, when we're in the Beis HaMikdash and we're using Aninus in the Beis HaMikdash, that is just the Yom HaMisa, the day of death. And it ends by sundown, meaning the night following is, he's not an Onin min HaTorah. There is a rabbinic Aninus that Rashi over here brings up, but min HaTorah, Aninus comes to a conclusion by the end of the day. So for the rest of the Kohanim, so you cannot offer, you cannot do any avoda as an Onin. It certainly sounds from our Gemara that the avoda would be mechulelas. It would be profaned. It would be desecrated. However, Kohen Gadol is unusual, and for the Kohen Gadol, he could do the avoda as being an Onin. He's allowed to.
Aaron.
Huh? Right. That's the halacha. Aaron did it.
He was supposed to do it.
Correct. Now. because he can do the avoda, so he can also deputize, so he can sub it out. Now, but an Onin Kohen Gadol cannot eat the carbon. You recall Aaron Moshe, right? By the Hakamas HaMishkan. So they had a big debate in terms of which carbonas can be eaten, which carbonas cannot be eaten. Aaron at the time was an Onin. Rachmanis, he lost his two sons on that day. That was Rosh Chodesh Nisan of the Hakamas HaMishkan. And he lost his two sons, and he was an Onin. So certain carbonas offered and eaten. Certain carbonas were offered, not eaten. Okay, see over there for more of that. Anyway, so sakadat chamina ki chas rechman ala dekon gadol akruvehu aval shvu shlech lamati mashle kamash malan. So the Gemara just simply explains what I might have thought, and I could have entertained is the idea that the Kohen Gadol has a dispensation to do the avoda. But that dispensation is only limited to him and him himself. In other words, he cannot sub that job out to somebody else. I might have thought that. The Kamash Malan is that, no, he could sub it out. And can have another Kohen doing it for him. Okay. Good. So, obviously bringing us up to a Mishnah, allowing me to pause. Kuf, Yud, Amud, Aleph, halfway down in the Amud. And now, the pause is over. This Mishnah over here is going to continue its discussion regarding Gezel Hager. Look. The Mishnah is over here in the 10th Perek. We started with Shinui Kona. I said 10th Perek, I meant 9th Perek. We started with Shinui Kona, and from there, we talked about other aspects of Gzela, but now for the last couple of Mishnayos, the previous Mishnah and this Mishnah, so we're talking now about what happens when you steal and you swear that you didn't steal, and then you admit it afterwards. So now for that, you pay Keren Chomesh V'Hashem. Same thing by a ger, where you stole from a ger, and now confronted, you swore, yeah, I'm sorry, you denied, you swore, and then afterwards you admitted that you stole. So here, if the ger dies, and you cannot return it to the ger, I know we just got done discussing it, but here's the Mishnah that's going to discuss that under those circumstances, what you now have to do is take the money that you stole, and now return it to Kohanim. Which Kohanim? The ones of the Mishmar. The Mishnah inside. How goes this? Ager v'nishma lo umeitz areiz zem esham keren v'chomish l'kohanim. Ashel l'mizbeach. So, keren v'chomish go to the Kohanim. The Karban Hashem is going to obviously go to the Mizbeach. Shenemar, v'im ein le'ish go'el. La'ashiv ha'ashem e'la v'ashem ha'mushab la'ashem la'kohen mavad el ha'kipur mashir yichaper bo alav. The Pasuk in Parshas Naso. So it tells us that Keren Chomesh, now again, these are not the words of the Pasuk. As we go through the Gemara, we're going to really attack the Pasuk word by word. But the Keren Chomesh go to the Kohanim, and the Ashim goes onto the Mizbeach. Great. Again, the actual pasuk itself, we're going to analyze in just a moment. Hayam ales hakesef v'esa Ashim. Umeis. So now, let's say you're bringing up the money. You're bringing the Karban Ashim. And the Gazlan, as he's bringing it up to the Beis HaMikdash, in order to return, so the Gazlan dies. The Ger already is dead. In other words, obviously, because now, instead of returning it to the Ger, he's bringing it to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Ger, the victim Ger, is already dead. But now, as he's going up to the Beis HaMikdash, so the Gazlan dies. So now, HaKesef Yinasin Levanav. Now, as far as the money is concerned, so the money goes to the children of the Gazlan. Why not bring the money to the Kohanim? That's where the money was en route to anyway. The money was serving as a kapara. He doesn't need a kapara anymore. He died. The death is a kapara. So now the money basically is freed, and the money can now go to his children. As far as the Karban Ashram is concerned, Karban Ashram can't be brought as well. In other words, the Karban Ashram also is serving as a kapara. He died. He doesn't need it anymore. So what do you do with a Karban Ashram that no longer is needed, even though you are makdish it already as a Karban Ashram? So don't make the mistake like I did earlier this morning. Oh, the Karban Ashram is put to death, right?
No, that
would be true by Karban Chatas. By Karban Ashram, that's no longer necessary. So what the Karban Ashram can be done is you can reassign it as a Karban Ola. So what you do with the Karban Ashram is you let it graze, develop a blemish, sell it, and the proceeds are going to go to Nedava. What is Nedava? The Pushkas in the Beis HaMikdash. 13 in total. So of those Pushkas in the Beis HaMikdash, so six of them. Okay. All right, I'm sorry, the Rolodex in my head. So six of them are going to be Nedava, meaning they're going to be earmarked as Nedava, which is that in the slow time in the Beis HaMikdash, Ketz HaMizbeach, so we're going to be drawing from those pushkas in order to offer Karban Olas in the Beis HaMikdash. Good. So now, if let's say the money was given to the Anshei Mishmar and then the Gazlan dies, so once given to the Kohanim, it is now property of the Kohanim. And now the Yorshim can go to the Kohanim and say, look, right? No longer yours. No. Once given to the Kohanim, property of the Kohanim. Nasan a kesef le Yo-Ho-Yariv. Now let's say the kesef was given to Yo-Yariv. So here we are now going through the Mishmaros. We only need to know one and two. Mishmar number one is Yo-Yariv. Mishmar number two is Yedaya. So the Gazlan goes over and spends a couple of weeks in the Beis HaMikdash. In week number one, he hands the money over to Yo-Yariv. He didn't get his act together for the Karban Ashram. Okay. But he knows he's got another week in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Asham LeYedaya. And what he does now is that week number two, so he brings his Karban Asham. Happens to be new Mishmar in town this second week. Great. No problem at all. So in other words, the Mishnah is just simply telling us is that even though there are two different Mishmaros, one receiving the money and the other receiving the Karban Asham, that works. Yatsa.
What's the Habba mean of that? If you give something to the coin, that you get backseat, that you could take it back. I mean, what...
Right. It's a fair question. I don't want to spend too much time. It is a Havamina. In other words, the mission is very clear that it doesn't go back, but why would it have gone back? Okay.
There was no apparent accident.
We could argue it, but let's not though, because the mission is very clear and we have a daf we have to finish. Asham lo yo yariv, kesef li yadayam. Okay, now let's say the Asham goes to Yo-Yariv and the Kesef to Yedaya. Now, you shouldn't have done that. Meaning because the Asham has to follow the Kesef. In other words, the sequence of the Torah is very clear. First return the money, then bring the Karban. So what you did is that you gave the Karban to Asham to Yo-Yariv. And then you waited a week, and then the next week you gave the money to Yedaya. Im Kayem Ha-Asham... So Yakrivu b'nei Yedaya v'im lo Yachzir v'yavi Asham Acher shehamevi gzelo ashlo hevi Asham lo yatsa hevi Asham ashlo hevi gzelo lo yatsa. In other words, over here, sequence and ordering is essential. It is necessary that first money, then Karban Asham. So that means to say that because you gave your Asham to Yo Yariv, and now a week later you're giving the money to Yedaya, So now, because you went out of order over here, this order becomes essential. And the only way it's going to work is for whatever reason Yahoyariv didn't offer the Karban Asham. And Yahoyariv now will pass over the Asham to Yedaiah and say to Yedaiah, okay, well, in other words, you got the money, now going to bring the Karban Asham. However, if Yahoyariv, in other words, a miscommunication, Yahoyariv offered the Karban Asham, but the money wasn't given yet, the Karban Asham doesn't work. And now what he has to do now is once he gave the money to Yedaiah, that's Mishma number two, he's also going to bring a new Karban Asham to give to Yedaiah. Good.
Not good enough to set it aside. You must actually give it to them?
You have to, in other words, the money has to be given first. That's the point. Now, in this entire discussion in the Mishnah, you probably noticed that we didn't talk much about the Chumash. Here it is. And that is that the Chumash is non-essential, meaning the Chumash, obviously, it is part and parcel of what you need to do. You need to give Karen, you need to give Chumash, you need to give Asham. However, the Chumash is not Ma'akev. And the Karban Asham can be brought, even though the Chumash has not been given yet. It is a Chov, it's certainly an obligation. It just doesn't hold back the Kapara aspect of the Karban Asham. Tanu Rabbanan, we are at the Gemara. So, number one, Asham, Zuha Karen. Okay, now, here we go. Promised and now delivery. And that is the Pasuk. The Pasuk reads, Ha'asham ha'mushav la'ashem la'kohen mavad el ha'kippur mashir yichaper bo'olav. So what you're going to do is you're going to return the Asham. You're going to return the guilt. Now, Asham could be understood as a carbon, because that's what the carbon is called. But Asham could also be a reference to the money. Meaning, why are you here in the first place? Because you stole from a ger, and the ger dies, so you're guilty. Return the guilt to the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara is going to tell us that the correct way to interpret the Pasuk is that Asham is a reference to the money that you stole. How do I know that? So, Tan Rabban and Asham Zeh Keren, and Mushav Zeh Chomesh, oh, Eino El Asham Zeh Ayil. I don't know, maybe Asham is a reference to the carbon. And Ulamai Nafgamina, Allah Fukim Adirava. Now, if in fact that were true, so that would exclude the point of Rava, which is Dama Rava Gezal Gersh Echzira Balaila Lo Yatza. Echzira Chatzayim Lo Yatza. My time Asham Kari Rechmana. So the Kishu Amr Mlavan El Kippur Have Omer Asham Zu Karen. Okay. We know that Asham is a reference to the money. Why? Because at the end of the Pasuk it says, aside from the El Kippurim, meaning clearly at the end of the Pasuk, the Karban Asham is right there at the end of the Pasuk. In black and white, very clearly, the El HaKippurim is the Karban Asham. So now when I go back to the beginning of the Pasuk, so I now know that the Asham at the beginning of the Pasuk is a reference to the Keren, which means the following, okay? And I know I just read it without translating, but now let's translate. And it brings us to Rava's point. Rava's point is that even though it's money, it's got Karban qualities to it. The money that you're bringing to the Kohanim of that Mishmar has carbon qualities to it, so that even though it's just money, you're not offering the money, you're giving it to the Kohanim. Kohanim are going home that night and treating themselves or doing whatever they want to that with that money. It's their money. However, because it's got carbon qualities to it, number one, you can't return the money at night. Just like you can't offer carbon at night, the money can't be returned at night. Number two, you can't offer the money in installments. A carbon is either all or nothing. The money has to be given either all or nothing. Good. So these are the two points of Rava. How did Rava know this? Because what he knew is that when the Torah says the word Asham, so it's referring to the money. But because the Torah's word choice is specifically Asham when describing the money, it means that the money's got carbon qualities to it, as we just got done explaining. Tanya Idach, let's do this again, just in case you didn't get it the first time. So Asham Zukaren Mushav Zuchamesh Oeinu Ella Asham Zuchamesh Lamai Nafkamina Lafukim Mimasnisen. Did not. Nasan as Karen Melon Nasan as Chamesh and Chamesh Ma'akev. So the Karen is essential. Chamesh, non essential. Again, when I say non essential, I mean vis a vis carbon Asham. You could bring the carbon Asham even though you didn't bring the Chamesh. Adarab Chamesh Ma'akev Kishu Omer Veshiv as Asham Abrasha Vechamish Yaso Havi Omer Asham Zukaren. Ah. The word Asham is only referencing the Keren in the beginning of the Parsha. The Heshiv es Ashamo Birosho, Clearly, that's a reference to principle. Okay, so fine. So what that comes to tell me now is that in terms of the carbon asham, so what is essential? The bringing of the principle. Chomish, it's an obligation, but it's not essential to the carbon. Tanya idach. How about we do this a third time? So asham zukeren mushav zechomish uvegezal ager kasam medaber. Oh, eino ela mushav zukefal vegenevas ager kasam medaber. So we're talking about gezal ager. The Gemara says, I don't know. Maybe we're talking about genevas ager, where you stealthily stole from a ger and you were caught, and now we're talking about kefal. Maybe that's the pasuk. So kishuam reveshiv is a shama bereshama bereshav vechamishiso harei mamana mishalam bereshav kasam medaber. Nah, we're talking about principle. How do I know that? Because it says the right veheshiv is a shama berosho. That's principle vechamishiso, and also another 25%. Okay, good. So anyway, so three times over in three separate braces, we now know that the word asham at the beginning of that pasuk is a reference to the Karen. Kufam Rav Gezal Gesh Echzir Balayla Lo Yatsa Echzir Lechatzayim Lo Yatsa My Taima Ashim Kari Rechmana. Okay, good. The Gemara just goes over the point of Rava, which we already went over before, but Kufa, in other words, you know what the Gemara wants to do now. It wants to analyze, it wants to spend a little bit more time with this halacha. You can't return this principle at night. Again, the money's got carbon qualities. Carbon can't be offered at night. Money can't be returned at night. Has to be returned during the day. And also can't be returned in installments. It's all or nothing. Here comes an interesting halacha. In order to successfully return the money, there must be a pruta going to every member of the mishmar. Okay, so how many members are there to the mishmar? It's obviously a variable. It's not a fixed number. And how much money do you have to return? It's also a variable. Depends on how much you stole. So what there must be in order to get a check in the box for having returned this money, so there must be enough money so that every coin of the Mishmar gets a pruta. Oh. Now, my time, and the reason would be, is because dichsiv hashama mushav, ashiyeh hashav l'chol coin v'coin. Every coin has to have money being given to him. And we know halachically money is a shava pruta. Okay, now, what if there isn't enough for every single coin? I turn your attention to Rashi. No. I thought I was going to turn your attention to Rashi. No. Rashi here doesn't say. I thought he did. No, he does. He does. I'm like... I had it queued up. Okay, I found it. Sorry. Second to last round of Rashi. L'chol kohen v'kohen shebem mishmar. U'mosiv mishalo od lahashlim. So Rashi over here says, now what if the money is not enough? In other words, every kohen needs to get a pruta, and happens to be that either there are a lot of kohen into that mishmar, or you didn't steal that much. So Rashi writes over here, what you need to do is, you need to add to the principle until you get to the right number so that every kohen of the mishmar is going to get a pruta. Okay, this point of Rashi is subject to debate, right? In the notes over here in the Masifta, he notes that a number of Rishonim are not in agreement with Rashi. In other words, you can't manufacture more money in order to fulfill. Some Rishonim are of the position that if you don't have a pruta for every coin, you're just simply stuck. Anyway, we continue. Bai Rava, Ein Bo, Le Mishmeres Yoyav, Yesh Bo, Le Mishmeres Yedaya Amahu. Okay, so now as we turn to the top of Kuf Yudam and Beis. Okay, let's say Yo Yariv had a lot of kohanim in their mishmar. Yedaya, number two, they were smaller. So let's say there is enough money for Yedaya, just not enough money for Yo Yariv. So hechidami ilayim adiay vele Yedaya. So be mishmar Yedaya ha isbei. So the Gemara says, I don't understand the question. Meaning, which mishmar did you actually give it to? If you gave it to Yedaya, and there's enough that every member of Yedaya gets a pruta, we should be good, right? And there's no question to even ask. So lo tzricha di ayve le yedaya be mishmarta de yo yarev. My. Mi amrin and kevin de la mishmarta huva lo klum. O dumma kevin de lo chazi le. And mi kar le yedai kai. Take him. Gemara says the question over here under review is the following. And that is that I gave it to Yedaya 1 week early. And basically what I'm saying is the following. Look, Yoho Yarev has got way too many kohanim. Too many. And there's not going to be a pruta for each one. So what I'm going to do is that, look, Yedaya, I'm prepaying you. In other words, I know you're not working until next week. I know that. But I'm going to give you the money now with the understanding that let's hold this for next week when you're in business. So would it work? Now, the Gemara's question over here to me is still a little bit unclear. Is the Gemara asking, would it work now? Hard to imagine. Meaning Yedai is not working this week. Maybe the Gemara's question is prepayment allowed? Maybe that's the Gemara's question. Either way, take it, the Gemara is uncertain as to whether or not this works. Baye Rava Kohanim Mashiachaku Gezel Ager Kenega Gezel Ager. Okay. In order to understand the Gemara's question over here, let's do this. Right? It gives us an opportunity to catch up a little bit more than where we should be. So let's try to do this. I know the music's going to play. So in if you're new to the proceeding and don't understand the idea of the music playing, you'll understand in just a moment. So when I'm serving in the Beis HaMikdash as a Kohen, again, it's fiction, I'm not a Kohen, but when I'm serving in the Beis HaMikdash as a Kohen, or better stated, nonfiction, Alan's serving in the Beis HaMikdash as a Kohen. So here's the story with it. And that is that Alan, as good as a businessman as he is, he can't conduct business in the Beis HaMikdash. So he was just given a Karban Hashem and he offered it, and now the meat of the Karban Hashem. And there's another Kohen next to him, and he's looking. He's like, "You want to swap?" So you can't do that. You right? In other words, whatever Karban you're working, you get, and you can't swap. And even if it's a fair swap, you can't do exchanges in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Karban Hashem that Alan's working with is the Karban Hashem that he's going to be eating, and that's it. And you can't swap it out with others. There is no exchanges. There's no commodity trading in the Azara. Okay.
What if it's just what you like?
It's so funny. It's so funny. Your business. Exactly the point. Exactly the point. Meaning it doesn't matter that, in other words, it's a fair swap, and I prefer that, and you prefer that. You cannot do that. It's a pasuk. Right, v'chol minchas belula b'shemen v'charev v'chol b'nei Aaron tia ish ke'achiv, and the Gemara darshans from that pasuk. It's a Gemara Menachos. The Gemara darshans from that pasuk is that whatever you get is yours, and you cannot, you can't swap, you can't barter. Good. Well, Gemara now wants to know how about Kohanim exchanging Gezel Hager one with the other? Now, why would it?
Same
Mishmar. Right, each one is receiving. So why is it that we might engage in this conversation that you can't swap on karbanos, but Gezel Ger you can, because Gezel Ger is money, and money's fungible, and so the Gemara at least for a moment is going to consider. So maybe this doesn't include Gezel Hager. So by Rav Kohanim Mashi Chaku Gezel Ger Keneged Gezel Ger Miamrin and Ashem Kari Rachmana Ashem Ein Chokim Ashem Keneged Ashem Af Gezel Ein Chokim Gezel Hager Keneged Gezel Ger Odilma Gezel Ger Mamonahu. On one hand, we know that Gezel Ager has got carbon qualities to it. See above, see our discussion above. And so maybe Gezel Ager is to be treated like a carbon. And that is that you get it and you cannot swap it with another. On the other hand, it's money. And money is more fluid, more fungible.
Is it just different forms? I don't understand what are you swapping? A $10 bill for $2.
Correct. It's a fantastic follow-up. I'm not sure. If we're just talking about coins and exchanging coins, a little bit unclear. Anyway, you know what you're going to do with the coins, and that, of course, is that you're going to spend it. So,
I'm unsure.
Hadar Pashta Asham Kari Rechmana. And the Gemara says no. In other words, the Asham, the fact that the Torah describes the Karen as Asham. So we've seen it not once, but three times this morning. So the fact that the Torah does so it has Asham qualities to it, it cannot be exchanged. So Rav Achibri, the Rav Masin Lebeheja, I'm a Rav Kohanim, and Chokim Begezal Ger, Keneged Gezal Ger, Maitama Ashim Kari Rechmana. Okay. And just a punctuation of the point by the Braisa. By Rav Kohanim, Begezal Ger, Yorshim Havu, O Mekable Matanas Havu. Okay. When the Kohanim get the Gezal Hager, and they're the recipients of Gezal Hager, it's coming to them under what category? Under what umbrella? Either they're inheriting it, or they're receiving it as a gift. So, Lamai Nafkamina, who cares? Meaning, good, they're getting it. What difference does it make? Gemara says it makes a difference. Kigon. Shigazo chameitz v'avar lava pesach. Iyamart yarshim havo hainu haidi yarsay maris. So, iyamart num kable matanas havo matana kamarachmana dene sivlu v'alo kayav leimidu de'afra ba'amahu. So, if it's just a Yerusha, meaning that they're getting it as a Yerusha, so, let's go back to our classic case that we've discussed time and again in our perek. I go over and I steal from the gear single malt. Good. And now, Ger dies. And now what do I have to do? I have to return it. I have to return it, but he's no longer alive. So I bring it to the Kohanim. Pesach has since come and gone. And it's now Chamish Avar Lava Pesach. Can I go over to the Kohanim and say, here's what I stole. And you drop the single malt bottle right by the Kohanim. Enjoy. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, it's Chamish Avar Lava Pesach, so there's nothing to enjoy. Right? It's Aser, Bachila, Bahana. Okay, so nothing. No, you can get no benefit from it. Good. So now, do I get a check now for returning? If it's a Yerusha, yes, you get for returning. If, on the other hand, it is a Matana, so then a Matana means a gift by definition has to be something of value. So Rabbi Zira by Hachi Afilim Timsa Lamar Mekabel Matana Havu Halo Ibalan Dahi Matana Merachmana Denes of Lu Elaki Kami Bailan Kigon Shnaflo Eser Behemas Gazal Ger Mechayvel Afrusha Minayu Meiser Olo. The way that Rabbi Zairi asked the question is that, you know, if let's say if the Gezel HaGera represented 10 animals, okay, this Goslin really went to work, stealing 10 animals from the Ger. The Ger dies, and now he's bringing the 10 animals to the Kohanim. So now the Kohen is coming home with 10 animals. Now I know that the animals are going to get distributed, and the question gets messy. Okay, perfect. It's anyway, the hour is late. Okay, let's do this. Let's do this tomorrow. Question of whether or not the Kohanim are going to have to be Mafish Meiser Behemah or not be Mafish Meiser Behemah. We'll do that tomorrow. Anyway, and I don't want to get later than I already am. Okay, good. What was our topic of today? Gezel Ager in so many permutations. Okay, really quick summary.